Good morning once again, church. We have a number of visitors who are here for Kate's dedication. If I may, without their permission, point out a couple of visitors who are not here for Kate's dedication. That's my parents. So that's them there. We have guests from Adelaide, so that's them there too. Everyone look in that direction. We're not going to embarrass you too much. My mom, Irene, and my dad, who goes by his initials, YH, is worshiping with us here today. So make sure you say hi to everyone, not just my parents. If you are regularly attending One Turner here, get to know someone that you necessarily haven't met before. Now, because of Kate's dedication today, which I've already spoken a little bit at, I've decided to link the sermon presentation itself with the dedication. So you'll see what I mean soon enough. That also means that I've decided to preach a shorter sermon than usual. No amens. Good. Good for you. I believe that the baby dedication serves effectively as an introduction of sorts to the message today. So it'll be a shorter sermon today by about 30 seconds, 38. No, I'm just kidding. It's more than 38 seconds. I'm cutting down. It's actually a full minute. Thank you, Joe, for the prayers. I have a habit, if you've been attending this church, it's just a habit, a quirky little thing, whatever you want to call it. I like to kneel just for a moment before I pray. So feel free to stay seated. I'm going to pray as we get into our message for today. Father in heaven, Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the blessing of opening your word. Lord, my prayer remains the same, that you will hide the messenger behind the message and behind the cross of Calvary, that any and all glory goes back to you and to you alone. I ask that you would open not just our minds, but open our hearts as well as we open your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of my message today is Reaching the Goal. So I have a specific context in mind when I put this title together, and more specifically on the word goal, because the word goal itself has many different, I guess, connotations, some of which we'll be able to relate here and some probably not. Because when I say goal, something like this may come to your mind. Somebody with a nice house, a nice car, and we can kind of say that he or she, they've made it, okay? They've made it. But I have a question for you, just from a non-Christian, non-theological perspective. They've made it. They've made what? It. Okay, they've achieved the goal. But when you get down to the, I guess, the more poignant question, the more important question is, how do we define it? What's that goal, and how much is enough? I suppose it depends on who you ask, doesn't it? Here's the thing, though. Oftentimes, our focus becomes on the end result, even when we don't naturally know what the end result is. And in the big scheme of things, some of the things that don't matter, we tend to keep moving the end goal. What do I mean? Let me show you an article that was published in news.com.au just 2 weeks ago. This was on the 13th of February, just this year. The title of this article is this: Survey Reveals Scores of High-Income Earners Think That They Need More Money to Be Comfortable. So the average Australian wage is around $85,000 per year, but a lot of people who make more than double that still don't think they're rich. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask how much money you make, okay? But maybe you fall into this category, maybe you don't. Here's an excerpt from that article. A whopping 52% of people earning between $150,000 and $200,000 a year reported feeling frustrated by Australia's rising cost of living, while 14% were angry about the situation, compared with 49% of respondents with incomes above $200,000 per year who say they were frustrated by rising costs, and 12% who were angry. Anybody here make more than $200,000? I'm going to put my hand down. Anybody here make... Don't put your hand up. Now, you look at that, you go, Yoshi, maybe you're a little bit unfair, maybe a little bit harsh, because no matter how much money you make, it is, you do get frustrated at the rising costs, right? I mean, that's just facts. But listen to what the article continues with. Higher income earners indicated they need more money to be comfortable, with half of those earning more than $200,000 a year believing they need more than $400 extra per week to be comfortable. So that's basically a 10% pay rise. You're earning $200,000 a year. They believe that they are actually not comfortable until they get an extra 10% pay rise. Let me take it one step further. More than one-fifth of those earning more than $200,000 think they need an extra $10,000 a week to be well off. Well, another 20% believe they need $20,000 or more per week to achieve that. That's $1 million pay rise over the $200,000 per year. Now, I don't know if you do that, if that's your income. If it is, you're welcome to One Turner. I'm just kidding. You're welcome regardless. Otherwise, we wouldn't belong here, would we, honey? I choose these next words carefully. But I can almost guarantee that if they get there, chances are they'll want more. Because for many, sometimes there seems to be no end. You see that there's a goal to get to, and when you get there, you need to move that goal again. Now, there's nothing wrong if you want to get to a certain amount of money. You know, in fact, when I was younger, I don't think I even told my parents this. I want to become a millionaire by the time I was 30. Half my goal was realized. I got to 30. But what I'm trying to say is this. If you think about it, if you truly think about it, when it comes to life, for something that truly matters, the journey is just as important as the end result. Okay? What do I mean? Okay. Right on cue, Tash. Thanks for letting me use you in my sermon and the photo. Rob and Tash, let me ask you a question that I could effectively ask any parents here, but since we're dedicating a little Kate today, I'm going to ask you the question. So, would it be fair to say that both of you want to be, your end goal, is to be the best parents that you can be for Kate? Okay? It's not a trick question. That will be true for a number of parents, correct? Okay. Now, here's the trick question. When do you get there? When do you go, I am now the best parent I can be for Kate? Is it when, you know, you walk her down the aisle? It's like, she's a baby. That's 35 years away. You walk down the aisle. Or maybe just before. Maybe it's that time when Kate brings home the first boyfriend. And Tash is saying, these are the things you need to look for in a guy. And Rob has his gun on his lap. Bring her home by 7:30. I don't know. Yeah. Rob says yes. Or when you're walking down, I'm picking on Rob a little bit more, right? And Rob's walking little Kate down the aisle, and he's handing her over to the fiancé, soon-to-be husband, and Rob hugs the guy and says, take care of her, or I'll break every bone in your body. Twice. I'm looking at my father-in-law. That's not what he said to me, don't worry. I mean, when do you actually get to that point? The truth is, you never. Because even if she becomes a mother or a grandmother, yes, the goal is to be the best parents you can be. That's the goal. But the journey is just as important, if not more so. One of the greatest preachers in the history of the Christian world, the Apostle Paul, writes this. Do you know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. So Paul's saying this, yes, there's a crown, yes, there's a prize, but when it comes to this earth and how we live life, pay attention to the race itself. Otherwise, what's the point in actually getting there? And he says, it's about the journey. Run in such a way as to get the prize. I'm going to skip a verse. I'm going to keep reading 1 Corinthians. I'm going to read a slightly different version. This is the Message Bible, verses 26 and 27 that I'm about to read. I like how it's translated here. I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. There's no sloppy living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition. I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else all about it, and then missing out myself. Paul says, I'm going to try my best because the goal and the race itself, the end result and the journey, it's all tied together. In fact, I almost dare say that Paul is saying he seems to be more concerned about the journey, about the race itself, than actually the end of the prize. He writes about this idea of journey several times. I'm going to share this in just a moment, but right about now, you might be thinking, wait, some of you are maybe new to this concept of Christianity, and some of you have been Christians for a very long time, but you read that and you think, that sounds like a lot of work. That sounds like a lot of work. I mean, if you're trying to sell what Paul is saying, not sure if I'm buying it. Life is, you know. But here's the thing. According to Paul, it's seemingly hard work. But Paul talks about his journey of life with all his struggles and challenges, literally like it's the best thing in the world. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Now that's very radical, but a very powerful statement. He's saying life will deal you these things. Now, translated, if I want to translate that verse, he's saying, life sucks, but I'm good. He's saying, hang on. The things that truly matter, ultimately, is how we run this race, is this journey. And there are many other passages that I can share with you, but Paul gives a little bit of his secret here in verse 1 to 5 of Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Paul's take on it is simply this. There is a journey of life. It's not easy. But the way he looks at it, because of his faith, because of the love of God that he experiences, he basically says, bring it on. Bring on the journey because it's worth it. I'd like to ask any parent here now, or even if you have a niece or a nephew, right? Questions that I already know answers to, okay? But I'm going to ask the question anyway. Is having a child tiring? Yes. Does it change your life and limit your freedom in ways you'll never imagine? Yes. Will it cost a lot of money? Oh, yes. Will you get enough sleep? Not a chance. Are changing diapers as bad as they sound? No, it's horrendously worse. But here's the final question. If you could go back in time, I'm not talking about having another child, I'm talking about if you go back in time, and you go, should I have this child again, knowing how tiring, how stinky the poo is, how all of that stuff, would you do it again? Why? Because it's worth it. See, I don't have a child and I can't relate to that. I can't go, yeah, okay, you know. Some of us will never have children. Maybe we won't, I don't know. but I can resonate with Paul when he says that something about the relationship, this journey, that makes it all worthwhile. Something that makes the end result, sure, it's nice to have, but how we take this journey, it's difficult, it's challenging, but boy, oh boy, it's special. Boy, oh boy, it's special. For Paul, the ultimate goal is to be ready when Jesus comes to take us home. But the journey, the experience of the power of God's love, strength, and grace, he reckons those things can be more exciting. I'm going to show you a video, and then I'm going to come back up here with another Bible verse, and then we'll close. Oh, that was a short sermon. Don't count on it ever again. This video is unlike any other video I've actually shown here. It's not one of those inspiring, emotional videos that I've shown at the end of my sermons. Those have their place, and I will use them in the future, but this one's different. And I believe it highlights what I'm trying to say here about not necessarily goals, which sometimes can be secondary, but about the excitement of the journey. Have a look.
It's a sweet treat to be in love with you, baby. Such a sweet treat to know you love me too. Oh no, baby. And my heartbeat is loud enough for two.
For me and you.
That's a YouTube channel called Joseph's Machines. If you think I have too much time looking for videos like that, think of how much time he's got. But jokes aside, life is unpredictable, isn't it? Things throw you curveballs, things break, and things don't turn out the way you expect. That's going to be the case for little Kate growing up. But I want to leave you with this final verse for today. Many believe that it's written specifically by Paul to the Hebrews, who were facing a number of challenges in practicing their faith journey. This is not devoid of all the challenges or the difficulties of any of that. But Paul says, I can rejoice because this is how you run the race. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Whatever you're going through life in this thing called, this journey called life, whatever goal you want to achieve, Paul's ambition is, hey, let's put Jesus at the cornerstone of it. So that when we go together, when we walk with him together, even the difficult things remain difficult, but they're actually something to look forward to crazy enough. I can invite the worship team to come up as we close with Cornerstone, then I'll close with a prayer.